All right, everyone, welcome back. It is 2021. This is Erin Backus with the Aha Moment, and we have episode 13 tonight. I'm so excited to kick off this year. I have Irene, my co-host.
Hello, hello from cold northern Maine.
What is it, 8 degrees up there, you were saying?
It is, yep. It's what it should be this time of year.
And our special guest today that we're kicking off 2021 with is Gary Altman, and he is down in Jersey.
Hi, Gary. Yeah, hello. Hi, everyone.
Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
That's where my clan is from, by the way. My family's from Monmouth County.
Oh, yeah?
And my mom went to Rutgers as well.
Oh, neat. That's cool. I'm in southern Jersey, I guess you could say, right outside of Philadelphia, like on the Jersey side.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So just a little introduction about those of you who are new to our podcast. The Aha Moment is, it's all about what were those moments in life that got you to even realize the field of horticultural therapy.
Where the light bulb came on.
Thank you.
Where you felt this revelation just take you over. And you're like, oh, I love this. There's got to be something to this.
And sometimes it's been one exact moment. And sometimes it's been numerous moments that brought you there. So that's what it's all about tonight. We interview individuals in the field or related fields about their aha moment. And tonight, like I said, we have Gary Altman. He is a certified rehab counselor, just like myself, and a registered horticultural therapist, just like myself and Irene. He is a teaching instructor at the Rutgers University Department of Plant Biology and associate director of the horticulture therapy program at the School of Environmental and Biological Sciences. Whew, that is a mouthload for me. So he teaches down there in the Horticulture Therapy Certificate Program and the HT Minor Program. I can't say enough good things about Gary. He is also on the board of directors for the AHTA, along with myself and Irene. And he's currently a PhD student in psychiatric rehabilitation, excuse me. So, Gary, tell us more about your background and welcome. I really do appreciate you coming on tonight.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. I'm not sure how far back do you want me to go about my background?
sometimes what we do
could be the moment.
Okay. So right now I am an instructor, a horticulture therapy instructor at Rutgers University. My job there is I teach all the AHTA accredited horticultural therapy courses.
So Rutgers is approved for accreditation. That's great to know.
Yeah, we've been approved. Probably not the longest standing, but for a long time we've been accredited. My main priority is teaching. I recently started. I'm working towards creating some horticultural therapy programming on campus at the greenhouse that we teach all of our classes. So I'm in the process of developing a vocational skills training program for individuals with autism spectrum disorder, which is kind of a twofold program. It's vocational skills training, but then we'll also do some vocational support employment and job placement and mm-hmm. long-term follow-along services as well.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, how long have you been there at Rutgers?
Oh, so I started dabbling in teaching in 2018. 2019 is when I came on board as a part-time lecturer. And then by the end of 2019, I made it into a faculty position. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a couple of years.
And did you acquire your accreditation at Rutgers itself as well?
I did. So I did my horticultural therapy studies at Rutgers. So I'm pretty rooted in the program.
Rutgers all the way.
Yeah, Yeah.
Where's your sweatshirt? You should be wearing your sweatshirt for us.
I have a hat.
Oh, I'm so sorry, okay. Listeners. Yeah. So during the interview, we're all on Zoom. We can see each other's faces. I'm so sorry. You guys should hear us.
Yes, we cheat. Sorry, everybody. yeah. So, and what year did you actually enter going to take your horticultural therapy classes?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it was... Gosh, I think it was 2012 or 2013. I can't really remember. It was a little bit later because I had my aha moment came a little later. And I'll talk about that a little bit because it was kind of like there was an aha moment, but it was more of a process, an aha process, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. My undergraduate degree was in psychology. It was a general psychology degree. And when I finished my undergraduate degree, I ended up getting really lucky and I kind of walked into a really great job just I don't even know how that happened. it was just happenstance, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up getting a job working in an inpatient psychiatric hospital, and I was a group facilitator, and my job was really to facilitate these groups on wellness and recovery and those types of goals in psychiatric treatment. And I had no idea what I was doing. Like, I really was totally unqualified for that job. because an undergraduate psychology degree, so it's so general. It's just, you don't have like the skills necessarily to do something like that.
But I bet it pushed you.
It did.
Really,
I was fortunate. So I my job there, I was an odd employee. I kind of got lumped in with the creative arts therapies department. So I worked alongside of art therapists and music therapists and recreation therapists. And did I say dance movement therapists? They were in there as well. So it was a whole group. There's about 20 of us. Excuse me?
Where is that again?
It was in South Jersey, a psychiatric hospital. So there's about 20 creative arts therapists and then me, right? it stuck out like a sore thumb. But they were really supportive of me and my position and taught me a lot about how to facilitate a group and all those skills that you learn later, in graduate school. I kind of learned on the job, which was really, I was really fortunate to learn those skills. But as I was, on the job and I started catching on to like what I was supposed to do and what my responsibilities were, I started to realize that I would observe them running these really cool groups, using these modalities and these interesting ways. And I was really fascinated by that, the process of like creative arts therapies. But I'm not an artist. I don't dance and, I'm not musical at all. I couldn't do any of that stuff, right? Like, it's just not for me. But I was a gardener and I am really into houseplants and growing. So I just gravitated towards what I knew. I knew that what plants have done for me and how they benefited me. So I just started to bring in some gardening activity to my therapy sessions with clients and bring plants into onto the psychiatric units and each unit had a solarium. And then, so I kind of set it up. So each unit, the solarium was like a little greenhouse area on each floor, mm-hmm. which was kind of cool.
Before you knew anything about what there was of horticulture.
No, I had no idea about horticulture therapy.
And you came in from the psych side too.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And,
I love that. I love how you took something that was personal and that you had a connection to that with your own, attraction or that sense of what appeals to you and could it be shared with others?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Because I knew that, plants were something that was, there was a calming nature to plants and plant care. And it helped me when I was stressed or feeling anxious. And I knew that that was a benefit to me. And, certainly someone with a psychiatric disability would benefit from that as well, you know?
Right.
So I had no idea about horticultural therapy, but I started just working in plants and plant activities into my group work with clients. And I was doing that for about a year. And then that's when my aha moment came. So a light bulb went off and I was like, well, maybe there's some sort of formal education here. There's something to this. You know, there's art therapy, music therapy, and all these other creative arts therapies. Maybe there's horticultural therapy. So I Googled it, looked it up, learned about it, and realized there was a program right in New Jersey. And that's how I started. So it was kind of like a serendipitous moment, really.
Yeah, you were in a very central area to have that you were located close enough to an area that really focuses on horticultural therapy. You know, not many people have that advantage. So that's awesome that you took advantage of it right away.
Yeah. I didn't realize that at the time. I knew that it was kind of a smaller modality, therapeutic modality. But it does seem like New Jersey and the surrounding areas kind of a pocketed area for those types of therapy interventions.
I'm curious about the therapists with whom you worked and you were starting to incorporate or bring in your plants and these creative art therapists. Did they have an opinion or a response to you bringing in these plants and they themselves realizing something?
So they were very supportive of me, you know, doing this type of work there. It was really well received. Immediately the clients responded very well to it and were very engaged. The horticultural therapy programming at the hospital got bigger than I could handle just myself. It was a 140, 150 patient hospital. So it was bigger. Mm-hmm. So one of the creative arts therapists kind of helped me out and became an assistant to me so that we could offer more groups to reach more patients. I couldn't get to everyone in a full week. I had so many responsibilities and other groups to do, but
since you weren't necessarily formally trained yet as a hort therapist at that time, did you approach it with the same kind of clinical goal treatment plan and in the sense that although you weren't necessarily, like I said, registered yet, you were achieving those same expectations?
I was. I'm careful to say that because I don't want people to misunderstand that, because I think you do need to be go through the education and become registered to do horticultural therapy. So I'm careful to say that.
Exactly.
But I just happened to be doing the same type of work, like documenting and treatment planning, that sort of thing, just because of my other job. And then this was, at the time, it was a specialty, I guess you could say.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. And then when I went back to school and at Rutgers and got the education, you know, they were very, very interested to hear about what I learned. So I started doing in services, and that's how I started getting my feet into dabbling into the instructor type of responsibilities. I started giving in services at my job and educating them about the modality, because everybody was interested in the theoretical basis of why we even use plants, what's beneficial about them, and what the process is like. It was a good thing at the hospital for sure.
Does the program still exist today?
So the hospital's there. It's since been, the hospital, it was a county run facility and it's since been privatized. So I don't believe that they're still doing, if they are, it's not the same scope. It might just be, seasonal type of work, that sort of thing, but it's not a full-on program like it was before, unfortunately. That's kind of the way that New Jersey is. It's like the further down south you go in New Jersey, there's less and less horticultural therapy because there's less therapists down here.
You had that psych background, Gary.
Oh yeah, so I did that for over 10 years, say 12 years. from there, I towards the end, I was in grad school. From there, I went to, I got into vocational rehabilitation. So I have a little bit of experience doing, providing vocational return to work services for people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. Did that for about a year. And then while I was doing that, I was kind of on the side, kind of taking on more and more responsibilities at the school in preparation to come on as faculty. So it was kind of always on the side. Mm-hmm. And now it's my main focus.
Yeah. So, and I guess where I was not trying to get you in trouble with the concept of referring to it as horticultural therapy before you were quote unquote a hort therapist officially, but I'm also just trying to get a sense of your technical background with psychology and the clinical work that you were doing, but also now that you are a registered horticultural therapist, now that you are a teacher of horticultural therapy, has your insight and awareness and professional practice seen in a different perspective than what you were doing when you were actually doing it in the psych hospital, in the rehab hospital?
Oh, sure. So after I received the education and became certified registered, I definitely have a much clearer lens on what horticultural therapy is and the mm-hmm. scope of practice. I was kind of winging it before, you know, like I, you know, kind of emulating what the other creative arts therapists were doing because I didn't receive my training. So I didn't really understand mm-hmm. the basis I didn't understand the full, I didn't have a sound understanding of everything that I was doing and how it was mm-hmm. therapeutic, right. If that makes sense.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope you're okay with this question, but the fact that you are a male, how do you feel in the demographic of those who are horticultural therapists are traditionally those of females? Do you feel like there's a challenge or there's something more for you to have a stronger effort towards or assimilation? How do you feel being a horticultural therapist and being a male?
Sure. Yeah, that is a good question. As a male, I, you know, like on the professional side of things, yes, I think a lot of horticultural therapists are women, but I've never felt out of place or awkward or weird, you know, on the professional side of things. It's as far as I know, it's been a non-issue. I think that, the female horticultural therapists have been really very, accepting of having
nurturing
around. Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
I think some of the most influential horticultural therapists I have in my life actually are female. So they play a strong role. In the field is a little bit different, right? Because I think that just generally speaking, like horticultural therapy is a helping profession, right? Mm-hmm. I think that there is a lack of men in the field as a whole also. Mm-hmm. All clients are different. They have different preferences and they might feel comfortable talking to a male more than a female. It's kind of been interesting to, you know, rely on my gender, I guess, for that. I don't want to say rely, mm-hmm. but you know, it's definitely something that's worked for me. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's kind of worked against me, right? So I mm-hmm. also worked on a unit that was female sexual trauma doing horticultural therapy, which was a really weird fit. And I was really uncomfortable and I had to work really hard at being conscious and mindful of where I was standing, how I was standing, how I was looking at these women in group. And
you were the only horticultural therapist on staff.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. So it wasn't really an option to not do the group, right? I just had to figure out how to make it work. In the end, you know, I used some of those therapeutic skills, interpersonal skills that I've developed, and it ended up being, I think, a very reward. That's probably the most rewarding horticulture therapy group I've ever done. And mm-hmm. I think part of that was because, you know, I got the chance to model like what a positive male figure could be in their mm-hmm. life. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
you broke down those barriers and those inhibitions with the clients as well as for yourself with the clients.
Right, right. And it was nice to just to be able to use the horticulture tool to be able to do that
right.
in a non-threatening way, right? So that's kind of...
That's an amazing study, actually. That would be a really great opportunity to report on.
That is a good idea. You know, and I didn't do that. And I probably... That was a missed opportunity, actually. But, you know, maybe in time.
Yes. Well, you're still growing. You're still developing your program. So there's never an end. So one other thing I wanted to ask about you said you used to garden a lot and you already had that kind of interest of plants. Do you have a relationship with plants initially that you said you do, you like houseplants and so forth, but is there a memory that you have towards gardening as a child or...
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I actually, this was part of the story I kind of left off by accident. I didn't mean to do that, but I I did grow up on a farm. Like my family lived on a farm in Indiana. My father worked in the industry for many years. He just retired. So I always had that connection to plants, mm-hmm. you know. And then when I was older and I got more, I never wanted to be a farmer, by the way. I just want to say that. it's so much work for so little pay. It's like not ever what I wanted to do.
Yeah. But, you saw the doldrums of it.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, as I got older, I became more interested in my heritage, I guess, and connecting more with my father. So that's also another kind of motivator behind everything as well, just kind of reconnecting. You know, with my family heritage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ditto.
Yeah.
It's they weren't farmers, but my mom loved gardening. So that's how it's came out for me. Aaron has a fantastic question that we always have to present at the very, towards the end of the interview here. And I think we're pretty much at that point now. And sometimes it illuminates other tangents, but let's start with Aaron's question.
You are so hilarious when you do that intro. Oh my God, that's so funny. So Gary, and this, I guess, reflects on about what you said before about, you know, you always loved plants and things like that. But what is your go-to plant when it comes to your sessions as a horticultural therapist?
So, indoors or outdoors?
Yeah, there's always that big topic. You can give us both.
So indoors, I'm big into phyllos, right? I think they're just great plants. They are.
For those of you who don't know what phyllos are, it's philodendron. I mean, really? You're shortening philodendron for the...
I used to shorten magnolia to Maggie's, and my old boss would hate that. He's like, stop it. It's not what you call them.
I'll just say, hey, Coles for coleus. Hey, Coles.
You all know what I meant.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, I had to give you a hard time on that.
I love it.
So yeah, I like, you know, they're pretty easy to grow, especially in you know, challenging climates like a hospital setting where the lighting is a little bit inconsistent, the humidity is very inconsistent, the temperatures are very inconsistent. So they tend to do really well in there. Outdoors, I'm really, you know, I like to grow plants that are going to be successful. So we keep it pretty simple and stick to like the tomatoes and the cucumbers and, you know, all those really easy squashes, things that don't have too many issues.
What I love about philodendrons too is that you can get the various species of all different sizes. You know,
they all look so different. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it gives like a kind of a tropical kind of vibe to a room.
Yeah.
And really, you know, because a lot of them get so big, it really can kind of create a space for, you know, escapism when you need it, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever grown one that goes up the trunk of a Dracaena? A corn?
I've not done that before, but that's a good idea, actually.
Or have you guys heard of the jungle?
It's very metaphorical. Sorry.
Yeah. I like it.
Sorry, Erin, what were you saying?
Oh, have you ever heard of the jungle boogie?
Boogie? It's
really cool. The jungle boogie. We have one at the garden center where I work part time, and I just think it's the coolest one ever. And I have never seen one before like that in my entire life. I'll take a picture and send it to you guys.
Is it a vining one or more of a epiphyte that grows off of the trunks of trees?
I would say more epiphytical, because I don't see it. It's so large, I wouldn't see it climbing anything.
Right. So, okay.
But I'm back.
Jungle boogie.
Jungle boogie is the cultivar.
Oh, you know what? I did see that before and I didn't realize what that was.
Oh, so you've seen it before. Yeah, isn't it cool?
Not for sale, but I've seen them at like, a plant store, but it wasn't for sale.
Well, I have one for sale at my plant store.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. So they get big? I only saw like small ones.
It's huge.
Oh, interesting.
You were saying the outdoor plants, you like the cucurbits? From what I understand, and tomatoes, is that what you were saying?
Right, yeah, just to keep things simple.
But again, so much variety in what those
a lot of variety,
genuses offer.
Because I was always weird, like, I need to be working in like a psychiatric setting, you have to be very careful about the plants that you are growing. Uh-huh. So I try to pick one, even if like something did happen, like, you'll be okay.
That's a good point. So philodendron has, you've heard or read in your research that the toxicity issues are not to be too concerning for the potential into.
So it depends. So the setting that I was in, I didn't worry so much about that because it was the solariums that we would keep those plants in where they were locked off. So they no one could get in there unless I was in there to observe them. Mm-hmm. I was like a little bit more, I'm not going to bring toxic plants into the a hospital, but I didn't have to worry as much, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Outside's a little bit different because, you know, there's a lot more space and you can kind of hide a little bit easier. It's a little bit more challenging to provide the same level of observation outdoors.
I definitely had to get, like, do a major research when I started the program at Silver Hill about what I could use and what I couldn't use in different units, whether it be a transitional living to, because we had inpatient there too. And it was so interesting yet so limiting at the same time because I could only use certain plants.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So when I started at the psychiatric hospital, there happened to be some plants around at the time. I don't know how they got there. I guess they just ended there from families visiting. You know, they might bring a plant and they end up in the room and they get neglected typically. But there's a lot of euphorbias in there, which are typically not.
Yeah.
The best
those plant. Are not. Those are not a safe plant. You don't want that milky stuff on.
No. So things like that, I would go through and remove and just, you know, you do have to be mindful of the types of plants that you bring and.
Yeah.
How they're potted and displayed and what materials you're using. Cause it, even though it is locked, there people go in there for individual sessions or other groups happen in there. So there's always a chance that something could happen. So you have to be mindful of the materials that you're bringing in.
Or even any during the session too, like how many people you have in just a one instant thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So that was, you know, in that particular setting, it was really challenging because it's, you know, they're in horticulture, we do use a lot of tools that they're considered to be sharp, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of mindful planning needs to happen. Whenever I walked onto a unit, I would make sure I had six trowels and I was leaving with six or six scissors and leaving with six. Exactly. You have to be very, very, very mindful of the tools that you're bringing in. Right. And I had a whole log book that I would keep and I would sign out the tools mm-hmm. that I was using just so that I could keep a record in case anybody, mm-hmm. If there was an incident, but I never did, thankfully.
So we're coming to the end here. I just also wanted to give you a chance to maybe tell the listeners about how they can learn more about the horticultural therapy program that you actually teach at. Where would they find the information?
So we have a website on the Rutgers University website. I don't know the actual website address off the top of my head, know that, but you can go in Google Rutgers University Horticultural Therapy, comes right up.
Okay. Easy enough.
Yeah. So, and there you can find all of our coursework and the course schedule, and can always reach out and ask me about if you have questions about registration or any questions about horticultural therapy. I'm happy to help.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Gary. We really appreciate you sharing with us your experience, your journey thus far. And we maybe we'll have a 22 return of you and hear more about how your horticultural therapy program has developed.
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, we've been making a lot of changes on campus. So I'm definitely would love to come back and chat some more with you.
Great.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. All right, everyone, good night, and we will see you next time on the Aha Moment.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.